So good day, everyone. Today with me, I have Ovidijus Stauskas, who is the visiting lecturer in Vilnius University for the Quantitative Economic Program. Also, he is a great researcher, just graduating from his doctoral studies in Sweden and soon joining as the assistant professor of econometrics in BI Norwegian Business School. So hi, Ovidijus, very nice to have you here with us. And well, it's interesting to know what you're working on, what you're doing at the moment, because you're kind of in between the two positions, right? So like you're graduating from your PhD studies and soon starting a new job. So what's your life is about these days?
Hi, Aurelia. Super nice to be here. And I'm thankful to everybody, people of Bank of Lithuania and the Vilnius University faculty for actually inviting me to join in for a month and being responsible for a statistics course for first year undergrads in quantitative economics program. Fun fact for the listeners, me and Aurelia, we met almost 10 years ago when she was my lecturer, if I'm not mistaken, in a course called Managerial Economics. So we've known each other for quite some time. And just a few years ago, well, we renewed this friendship when we met in the conference of Vilnius Winter Meeting. So that was a very nice occasion also for me to meet Lithuanian researchers. So exactly as you say, I'm in between jobs right now, and I'm finishing my PhD in econometrics at Lund University, and I'm going to be starting as assistant professor at BI Norwegian Business School in Oslo. So just to be very frank, I'm now just wrapping up my dissertation, writing acknowledgements, and trying not to forget anybody who made an impact during my journey in 5 years. So technically speaking, I'm also trying to finish a couple of papers that I hope I'm going to publish pretty soon. So my research area is econometric theory. So I'm a theorist. And I'm working on panel data econometrics. So just to elaborate on what it is, what it means, how it is important, panel data and panel data methods are concerned with special type of data. And we have time series data. So we observe an individual or many individuals over a long period of time. Well, time can be short, but we have a dimension of time. And we have individuals. So that could be a pool of countries, households, workers. So we have data on many individuals over a few periods of time, and we try to answer economic questions from that data set. So my methods that I work on are related to controlling for dependence between these individuals and make inference possible and easy to use. So just very, very broadly speaking.
Okay, sounds like fun. Yet some people would say, I'm not one of those, but I've heard this, I don't know, criticism or comments that econometrics, especially theoretical one, is kind of useless in the brackets in the real world. So What would you reply? How would you prove the contrary? Or maybe you would agree with those people.
No, I wouldn't agree with those people. I definitely see the point in that argument. I guess just reading econometrics paper, it might not really be very, informative, because it's just a lot of different proofs and the point of economics just gets lost. However, I would say that one of the main missions of econometric theory is actually spreading information. So for example, the way I work is trying to relax assumptions. In general, the difference between econometrics and statistics is a pool of assumptions. In statistics, people assume that samples are independent, individuals are independent. Well, in statistics or in econometrics, whenever we get economic data, it's really hard to say that our observations are independent. Countries are not independent from one another. Individuals are not independent. So therefore, to show the properties of various estimators, can be pretty difficult because you have to break dependence and you have to understand what's going on under way more relaxed assumptions. So therefore, the papers can really look messy. However, I think this is very important because usually applied researchers, before trying to estimate some econometric model, need to do some pre-work. For example, in time series data, people fit econometric model by first making data stationary. One of the standard steps. What stationarity means? It means that the data is mean reverting and it does not explode, does not go in long cycles. So people usually deal with this by taking differences and so on, calculating growth rates, transforming the data. However, whenever I work with econometric theory, I try to relax these assumptions and to understand whether this or that estimator could in fact work under non-stationarity. So obviously, if you made this mistake and you did not difference your data, I can come in and say, well, it's okay. You saved some time, even if you thought you made a mistake. However, your results are completely valid and they are interpretable. Well, because I have shown rigorously that this estimation method actually works under non-stationary data. So therefore, I see econometric theory and work on econometric theory as a way to inform applied researchers about what they can do, what they absolutely cannot do, whether they made a mistake, whether there is no mistake, how to organize work, how to prepare for estimation, how to prepare data sets. So in my view, this is about spreading necessary information.
All right, very good. So you already alluded a bit. So you're saying that like econometric theory and what you're working on is relaxing the assumptions. So basically making the methods more universal and more applicable in certain situations. So like is it how you come up with the idea? And overall, maybe what's the style that you were using when reading the new papers by your fellow econometricians? Like, are you always like thinking how to apply this method or which areas you could apply it for? Or do you immediately search for the assumptions that could be relaxed and maybe you already come up with a new research idea thinking, okay, this is assumption that I want to get rid of, or maybe this is... So basically,
actually, this is one of the ways I work. So indeed, as I already mentioned, relaxation of assumptions is very important. Independence, homogeneity in the populations, these are assumptions that are very, very strict, I think. So whenever I read new paper, I try to skim assumptions immediately. And after the reading the whole paper, to come back to assumptions and really look very deeply and see if I can relax something, if it's worth relaxing, if it's realistic. Well, because what econometrics are doing, what econometricians are doing, they're trying to squeeze the world into a very simplistic equation, like mostly linear equation, and try to estimate some parameters and to understand marginal effects. So this is already a huge simplification. But if it's done under additional set of very non-generous assumptions, then I think this is not great. So at least relaxation of assumptions and trying to make them closer to the real world is one of the ways I usually take. The latest paper is exactly this. So my latest paper that I've just finished, or the first draft is finished, is basically taking the estimator that in the literature previously was used under stationarity and relaxing it to non-stationarity. So just to elaborate a bit more, this paper is about panel data again, as so far everything I've worked on, and recognizing the problem that individuals in your data set are highly dependent. So they're cross-sectionally dependent. If you have a pool of countries over time, obviously, if you have a sample of, let's say, European Union, they depend on each other because they are driven by common shocks. So then it's a bit hard to conduct statistical inference. So the way this cross-sectional dependence is modeled is through so-called common factors. So there is a small number of common factors that drive the common shocks in the economy. So the way I deal with this problem is following literature in the so-called CCE, or Common Correlated Effects Estimation, coined by Hashim Pesteran in 2006. And what we do is basically augmenting the regression equation with cross-sectional averages of your variables. So intuitively, the averages of your variables contain the common information that basically soaks up all the shocks. So if you augment your regression with those variables, then it intuitively takes care of the dependence. But however, it's been long thought that these factors must be stationary, otherwise it's not possible to conduct statistical inference with such data. So actually my supervisor, Joachim Westerlund, started working on the ideas of actually relaxing this to non-stationary factors. And he did it in a rather specific setups. So I, in this paper, complete his analysis by employing different estimators, trying to relax, stationarity, trying to allow every individual, every country to have individual parameters in the model, because obviously we draw economic interpretation from the model parameters. And since panel data has the goal of explaining individual outcomes, it's pretty naive to believe that your marginal effects are exactly the same over all the individuals. So I try to also relax this restrictive assumption. So in this paper, I basically complete the analysis of CCE by fully generalizing this estimation technique. So this was my latest work, and I think this pretty much exemplifies the way I think about problems, because one of the crusades that I'm going through, I would say, is I'm trying to, you know, bring back econ to econometrics, so to speak, because it's pretty. As my second supervisor, Simon Rees, says. You know, dealing with intricate technical questions is one thing, but after all, everybody needs to learn something from it. So we need to change the ways we understand economics, understand people's behavior. So it's not about proving a small lemma and then saying that our work is done. Yes, the technical part needs to be rigorously done. It must be informative to applied researchers, but it also must make a difference and to actually help us learn something new. So this is exactly the way I try to conduct my research. So looking at the assumptions is one way. Another way is to try to invent something completely new. I guess this is where, at least for now, my limitation lays, because it's really tough to just take something completely new and invent from scratch. So as part of my learning procedure and my learning process, I currently focus on assumptions, make them more realistic, bring back to economics, and make as much and make the methods as useful for applied econometricians as they could be.
Fantastic. So you've mentioned two or three other papers and other projects that you are currently working on. So can mm-hmm. you tell us a bit more, like what those other projects are about and like what other topics
you're exploring? Good. So one of the papers that actually recently got published in Journal of Business and Economic Statistics is related to forecasting. So forecasting is another nice topic that I'm very interested in, because obviously economic forecasts shape our life well every day. If we turn on the news, then we follow forecasts about exchange rates and inflation and so on. So we as you know, members of public adjust our economic behavior based on those forecasts. So obviously as econometrician or economist, we are in charge of making those forecasts as high quality as possible. So one of the papers is related to forecast models and their evaluation, because we obviously can come up with many models to forecast economic data, But what we are interested in is understanding whether one model is better than another model. So since the legendary duo of Stock and Watson in 2002, a very prominent way to conduct economic forecasts is so-called factor augmented regressions. So what it means, usually we have very big data sets and they involve many, many series, financial, monetary, households, the fiscal, and so on. So very large data sets. And we cannot really use all the variables in the models because that would actually make us run into so-called, well, degrees of freedom problem, technically speaking. Well, it's just hard to deal with models with hundreds of variables, period. So we need to find a way to somehow reduce the so-called dimension of these models. So the factors are actually a way to help to summarize information in many possible variables. So the assumption here is that the series in these big and large data sets are driven by a small number of so-called common factors or common shocks. So if it's financial data, that could be some factors that explain unobserved excess returns, or that also could be some monetary policy shock that that explains co-movement in many, many series within the data set. So the idea is to somehow shrink the dimension of data to just a few factors and use that those estimated factors directly in the model. And then try to understand whether the simple model beats the factor augmented model or vice versa. Because usually we can construct a model with a couple of variables that we are sure are good predictors. So in the literature, it's very common to say that the lagged variable is a good predictor for its future value. So say I would like to predict economic growth for the upcoming quarter. So maybe I would look into the economic growth in the current quarter because there is some persistency and obviously there is dependence. So if the economy was growing this period, unless something awful happens, it should be growing next quarter. So these would be the simple models. So what we try to do, we try to see whether the simple models beat the factor augmented models or vice versa. So we created a statistical procedure that helps us to answer whether the factor augmented models indeed beat the so-called parsimonious models. Why do we need all this technical exercise? Well, the catch is that we don't observe these factors. So we actually, it's just a latent model. We believe in the model, and then we try to reduce the dimension of data set according to that model. So because we never observe those factors, we have double layer of uncertainty. So we would be testing a model that in turn in itself has something estimated. So therefore, it becomes an intricate problem with different layers of uncertainty. So it actually gave us a bit of a headache how to proceed, how to do this evaluation. But we were successful in developing theory behind it. And another nice thing is that in that paper, we actually changed the way we estimate those factors. We actually made it a bit more hands-on. So I followed by writing that paper, I followed this train of thought that we should have a little bit more econ in econometrics. And we also noticed that these big data sets, such as a Stock and Watson data set or like FredMD data set, which summarizes the United States economy, has a clear blocking structure. So you have one block of variables that corresponds to trade, stock market, monetary policy, and so on. So what we showed is that it's possible to actually employ this structure of data and to estimate these factors by just simply taking averages over the blocks. Because it makes sense to, you know, average over, let's say, stock market variables, and you get a proxy for financial factor, you average over trade variables, and intuitively you get a proxy for trade factor. And this is how we go. And we actually show that it's possible to construct consistent theory behind it, and it all results into a model evaluation procedure. So this I thought was a pretty neat idea from the get-go, because It actually follows the structure of data. And this is how, you know, usually a researcher would think about these factors, that there is something that, you know, follows one theme, there is something that follows another theme, such as stock market. And it basically makes us think about these models from a really economic perspective.
Indeed, very intuitive. But then I'm super curious. So did you come up to a unanimous conclusion? So do simple models outperform the factor augmented models, or it depends?
Well, obviously, it depends on the data set at hand. So what we did, we actually looked at FredMD data set from the United States that starts in early 60s, and it's updated, I think, monthly, if I'm not mistaken. So indeed, factor augmented models perform better. So they're more reliable. Exactly.
Very good. Very nice, actually. And then, and also these applications that you are telling about, they are also like very useful. Know it from my own experience. Then the question is, like, the methods that you're developing, it seems, and the project that you're working on are mostly applicable for macro data. Is that correct? Or are there some cases where the methods that you were developing would be also used for micro data and, you know, microeconomic situations? And I would be curious to know about the latter, because, like, the former, I guess, it's more intuitive and probably more obvious.
Mm-hmm. Really great question. Currently, I agree that the methods are geared towards macro data, because those methods inherently employ the fact that we have panels with long time span and many individuals. However, they could be adapted to microeconomic data sets, because usually in micro data sets, what we have is many individuals, but we only observe them throughout a small time window. So we only have a couple of years, 3-4 years. Then it becomes technically more challenging. But these methods, they actually can be adapted to small data sets. So especially talking very, very precisely about the CCE method, originally this augmentation with cross-sectional averages to absorb the cross-sectional dependence was created for classical macroeconomic data sets with long time span. However, it's been shown in 2019, if I'm correct, it's in the Journal of Applied Econometrics, and it can be used in short time span panels. So it actually can be adapted to microeconomic data sets. Technically, it's just more difficult to deal with, because as an econometrician, I usually deal with such concept that is called asymptotics. I don't really want to talk about it in this lovely podcast, but the idea is that we want to follow what happens in large samples, because this allows us to conduct inference based on standard approaches. So we can go back to statistical tables of standard normal distribution, because we love standard normal distribution, but we can only do it if we have large sample, many individuals, long time periods. It becomes more tricky when you don't have long time periods. However, it's still possible to do. So I'm very happy that this research area is flexible. So it could in principle accommodate microeconomic data sets as well.
Super cool. And then, Ovidius, if we go a bit more philosophical and, well, stepping above a bit, what do you think, would big data and larger computer power, and also this artificial intelligence and, well, all these big data methods would eventually make econometrics irrelevant at some point? Maybe we will just feed lots of data into the large computers, supercomputers, and they would just spit out the result we want without us even knowing how it came up to the final result. So what are your thoughts on that?
I think that these two fields actually need not be mutually exclusive, and that they can actually cohabitate and live together happily. Of course, it depends on exercises you would like to do. If it comes to making a prediction and being as close to target as you want, Then I agree that running, well, neural networks, depending on machine learning, is something that will eventually prevail, especially outside of academia. But, you know, in economics and classical econometrics, people are very interested in explaining relationships. So everything goes back to looking at economic theory, how economic agents believe, and then translating it into a simplistic model that can be fit in the data. So if we would like to understand the relationships and to believe in the models, then classical econometrics actually goes to answer these questions. So I believe that if the data is, well, high quality, then simple econometric methods will always be there because they are simple to implement and simple to interpret, and they are not blind about economics behind them. So I think that definitely for predictions, machine learning methods eventually, well, will prevail, and they are prevailing. But as I just discussed, for predictions, well, we developed econometric procedure that hinges on very much classical econometric approaches, and it has nice interpretation. So it really depends on what you want. If you just want to be close to target, then go ahead and run machine learning procedures. If you are interested in making interpretations and testing economic models and hypotheses, then there is a plethora of classical econometric methods. And definitely, especially within academia, the interest is still there. So I believe that econometrics will be there for a long time.
All right. I'm still elaborating a bit in this philosophical way. So, like, I don't know, which world would be better? The one that can predict very accurately, let's say with machine learning techniques, whatever, but not understanding the causes, the consequences, and any relationships between the variables, and basically not understanding how the processes are happening. We just know it will be this or that. Or the world with like more understanding about the relationships, but maybe a bit less accurate projections.
I would always go for the latter. And because I think, so something that I already mentioned before is econometrics is such a curious discipline, and we try to take a very complex world, well, and just boil it down a couple of equations and try to fit them into the data. Well, I think that we should be, actually keep on exploring this complex world. So I would always go for developing theory and putting all my efforts in actually trying to explain relationships. So that would be my answer here.
Right. Well, I would agree with you, but maybe that's why we are researchers. Maybe that's our natural, you know, self-selection into this, because we're just curious understanding the world and not just getting some number that would tell us the outcome.
Exactly.
We want to understand the roots of the process.
It just goes back to what's your ultimate goal.
Indeed. Indeed. Yeah.
And I think being a researcher, one of the ultimate goals is, you know, to never be done with research. You're always in the progress. You are always in the process. Well, hopefully in the progress. Hopefully you are not stuck, but always in the process of something, and trying to understand the complex world. I think this is one of the most important things a researcher can do. So as a econometrician, I would always try to explain the relationships. And even if I'm interested in making predictions, as in that paper from a Journal of Business and Economic Statistics, I would really try to explain what makes this prediction better. So in this case, I was interested in these latent factors that drive the co-movement of many series.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so talking about like new research questions and some ideas, do you have something on your plate, you know, or boiling in your mind, something that you would like to develop or to address, well, something that you didn't manage yet or didn't have time for that, but maybe, I don't know, something in the midterm, medium term future?
Absolutely. So what I'm interested in the research is trying to, you know, robustify the methods. So I've already alluded to these underlying factors that drive many series in our data sets and trying to understand whether they improve our predictions. Well, what is problematic here is a number of those factors. So we estimate them, but we also would like to understand how many of them we have. So our procedures that try to compare different models, or try to control for cross-sectional dependence in panels, they very clearly depend on the number of factors. So usually there are procedures to estimate this number of factors, and then as a second step, to estimate the factors themselves, and then do the analysis for them. However, I'm always curious about what happens, you know, if you naturally make a mistake. If your estimated number is wrong, if it's, you know, if it overshoots or undershoots the true number of factors. So I would like to continue working on this project of comparisons of models when one of them has the estimated factors and another model is the simple one. But yet we have this twist when we naturally overestimate the number of factors. So I'm not really interested in considering the problem when we underestimate the number of factors, because then we run into the problem when we just don't have sufficient information. So our exercise kind of stops there. However, it's very interesting to see what happens when we overestimate the number of factors. So we have more information than we actually need. Can we say that in large samples, it doesn't matter? Can we say that in large samples, we run into some bias problems and we need to correct for it? So this is naturally where I would like to go further. And it really, I think, coincides with my usual frame of thinking when I create or when I try to come up with new research questions. So what happens when we relax this assumption? What happens if we make this mistake? Can we still proceed with statistical inference? Can we still answer economic questions? That would be on my agenda for the upcoming months.
Very good. Very good. Okay, Ovidiu, thank you very much for our chat today. It was super interesting and, well, I've learned also new things. And, well, it was super good and nice to chat with you. Well, we are always very happy to have you here in Lithuania. And so, yeah, we are happy that you made it this time in between your two jobs, and yeah, hope to see you soon in Lithuania back for one or other event.
Definitely. I really hope that I will be able to return next year and to continue teaching in quantitative economics, because it was just great fun. I think this is one of the reasons why I decided to become a researcher, because when I was a student, I was always curious to read a lot and then try to discuss as much as possible with my peers in the classroom. But then at some point, I started realizing that it would be so much fun not to only retell something that I read, you know, written by other people, but to create something myself and then communicate that message and to become part of the literature. However, this is a bit of a chicken and egg problem. Once you do once you conduct research, I always love going back to teaching because just, you know, trying to explain things to somebody who sees those concepts for the first time makes me to rethink a lot of ideas, understand the ideas better. So it's a very relaxing environment and it's a good time spent in a really good company. So whenever I struggle with research, I try to do some teaching to relax, to rethink things. And it was just nice to have this opportunity in Vilnius. And I really hope that I will be able to continue contributing to understanding of statistics of Lithuanian students. I send my best wishes to the cohort of first years of quantitative economics program. And exam is in a month. So if you are listening, I hope you are studying.
Fantastic. That's really great and really looking forward to welcoming you back here for one or another occasion. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. Bye.